Matt Sullivan here to remind you to stop putting screens on your gutters. Better to schedule a free estimate with the local experts at Gutter Helmet so you stay off the ladder. Visit gutterhelmetindy.com. With Gutter Helmet, you'll never clean your gutters again. gutterhelmetindy.com.
Good morning. It is Wednesday, April 10th. It is 5 minutes after 11 with Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. So Jamie Knoll, the former Southern Indiana sheriff facing 25 felony charges, found himself on the receiving end of an active gavel from the judge. The judge told him that he is not above the law.
Okay, so we got into this with Merritt earlier, and it's really rare you see Jim Merritt that fired up about anything, but he is just beside himself over this. So just a quick little, you know, reset of who Jamie Knoll is and why we continue to talk about this guy. Jamie Knoll was the former sheriff of Clark County. Nationally, he is known for that TV show 60 Days In, which I believe was on A&E several years ago, where it was a reality show. They had regular people. They put him in the Clark County jail. And they were kind of used as, on the TV show, spies, or they would give information to the guards about what was going on in the jail. And they had hidden cameras, et cetera. But personally, Jamie Knoll was the sheriff of Clark County. He was the Clark County Republican Party chairman. And most importantly, he was a part of the Republican Central Committee, which meant he was one of the 20 most powerful Republicans in the state of Indiana. He was also, and this is probably the biggest deal out of all of this, was a very, very, very close associate, both politically and personally, of Governor Eric Holcomb. And many people believed that Knoll was going to end up being the state superintendent of police. I mean, there is zero doubt. It's not open to interpretation, because I always love when I post about Knoll, you'll see the haters on Twitter. Well, how do you know that him and Holcomb were friends? It's indisputable. Mm-hmm. There's photographic evidence. There's social media posting evidence. Everybody who knew both of these people. I mean, it's like, you may hate me, but as much as you might hate me, there is zero doubt that Jamie Knoll and Eric Holcomb were thick as thieves. They were totally best buddies, you know, and compadres.
Isn't there a picture of, or at least a statement on social media from Eric Holcomb saying that he was checking up on Jamie Knoll's kids at college?
Yes, absolutely. These two were super close. And so what happened with Jamie Knoll is shortly after he is done being the sheriff of Clark County, the new sheriff comes in and allegedly finds information that appears to say that Jamie Knoll was having people who worked for him or under him go do things related to his personal possessions and property while on the clock, basically ghost employment. Mm-hmm. And so this sparks this investigation. And then once state police get involved and start doing this investigation, they uncover all of these horrific things that this guy was allegedly doing related to a volunteer fire department, misuse of funds. And now, obviously, his whole family is implicated in this. And in addition to the 25 felony charges he is facing related to this, obviously, as we said, the wife, the daughter have been implicated. The feds are looking into the guy as well, because it's believed what he did crossed state lines. So the kind of story on all this, that's the background on it. Now, part of his release, because he's out on bail, or was out on bail, was that he was not allowed to possess firearms other than, I believe, the judge allowed him to have one firearm for personal protection. He had a slew of guns, which is fine. He was, you know, he's not a, up at this point, not a felon. He's allowed to possess firearms, etc. Now, how he obtained those firearms, don't know. Maybe that's going to be coming out.
Well, at the time of his arrest, he was in possession of 82 different guns.
Right. So the judge said in the case, hey, I'm going to let you out on bail. Mm-hmm. However, you are allowed to possess one firearm for your personal protection, and everything else has to be confiscated and turned over. And in a, I believe it was March 13th, a raid, because this guy, look, the investigation has just been going on forever, because it appears the depth of what this guy did is so wide and so broad, and so many areas and people, et cetera, are impacted by this, that it's just taken forever. There was a raid on March 13th where they found two guns that he failed to turn over. And so as a result, yesterday he had a contempt of court hearing, and the judge, totally with zero accident, sentenced him to 60 days in jail. Scott County judge sent him 60 days in jail. The judge basically made reference to it, that that's why he was doing that, because the name of the TV show was 60 Days In. And now Jamie Noel, it appears, will do 60 days in a county jail.
Yeah, so the judge said, don't do anything stupid. Don't try to deceive me or defy me. You won't like the consequences. Today is the day. You are not above the law.
And this judge was pissed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I believe he break the gavel? Or,
yeah,
I mean,
I think so.
It was like something out of a courtroom, you know, drama. He was like in the Animal House scene where Dean Wormer's yelling at the Deltas as Greg, is that his name, is pounding the the gavel. I mean, that's like what it was a scene out of. But it's another example of, okay, if you're Jamie Noel, and it really is an insight into the arrogance of a lot of these politically connected and powerful people that believe they're above the law. So you're Jamie Noel. You know you're facing likely a mountain of prison time. The evidence against this guy is overwhelming that they have compiled against him. And we're not even to the federal side of it yet. This is all just, you know, state, local stuff. And you know you're going away in all likelihood for quite a while. But you're allowed to stay out. Wouldn't you... Any reasonable person who doesn't believe they're entitled to anything or doesn't have this sort of arrogance, be like, man, come in, get all my guns, whatever you need. I got to stay out for as long as I can because I'm probably going away for a while. Well, this guy showed that, again, believes he's better than or above the law, and just spat in the face of the judge. And the judge said, I ain't doing that. You're going to jail, buddy.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head with it when you said his arrogance, because they found that he spent millions of dollars on personal purchases without it wasn't his money to spend. And it's not only him that is facing these 25 felony charges. His wife is now facing 10 felony charges. His daughter is facing 9 felony charges. I mean, you know, talk about only thinking of yourself. He's got the whole family involved in this.
Well, and so, okay, so that's the actual nuts and bolts of what's going on here. Then there's the actual part of the story that should matter to us up here. And we'll continue to hit on this because I remain just blown away, Casey, that the Indianapolis media, but again, these are the same people who refused to pin Joe Hogsett down on where he was during the riots when he disappeared. So maybe I shouldn't be surprised. But you have a guy who not just personally, but politically was arm in arm with the governor. And this guy for years was allegedly committing these heinous financial acts and abuse of the taxpayers and abuse of the government system, and was living infinitely beyond his means. And both personally, and this is key, personally and politically, was connected to the governor, and yet not one person in the media up here, when they have access to the governor, has stopped him and said, how did you not know about this? You're in regular contact with this guy to the point... And there again, the internet lasts forever, Casey. Mm-hmm. You're so connected to the guy. You're bragging on social media about checking up on his kid at college. But we're led to believe
you knew nothing else.
That you had no idea about what this guy was doing and how he was paying for vacations and how he was paying for these homes. And he had fathered a child with another woman other than his wife that everybody in politics knew about that was going on.
So he's rising through the ranks in the party. And if you're the governor, what do you do in this situation? Because at this point, innocent until proven guilty. Do you just close your eyes and ignore this and hope it goes away? Or should Holcomb come out and make a statement?
Well, no, why would he? Nobody in the Indianapolis media is holding him accountable.
Is asking him about
this
it.
To me is a mega story. Like, if you're a journalist that wants to make something of yourself,
it was the second story on Daily Mail, so it's global.
And
we
don't cover it here. I think I saw WTHR covered, Abdul has covered it, and we cover it. That's about it, other than you might see a blip on the news about it. Mm-hmm. But where is the investigative journalism on this? What did the governor know about Jamie Noel? The governor has no defense of, I didn't know about this guy. Oh, you know, because look, politicians take photographs with people all the time. And you go, I don't know, whatever. That excuse doesn't work here. That excuse does not work here. Imagine your best friend, if you're listening right now, imagine your best friend. And if that person to the tune of millions of dollars was living above and beyond their means, wouldn't it be reasonable to think you would notice that that person was doing things that they had no logical explanation for financially how they were affording them?
Mm-hmm.
And yet, despite a mega story being handed at the feet of whether it's IndyStar or whoever that wants to just take it and run with it, Nobody seems to want to ask the governor anything about this, and it is unbelievable. This guy was a mega player in the Republican Party. He was a part of the Central Committee. He was a national television figure, for crying out loud, and he's super connected to the governor. And nobody wants to do anything with it. Unbelievable.
It is Kendall and Casey. It's 93 WIBC. So did you see this, that there's a group of House Republicans that are introducing a bill to rename Dulles International Airport after Donald Trump? So it's a two-page bill. They want to name it the Donald J. Trump International Airport, and they want to require all government documents to refer to it as the same thing. Now, it's currently named after John Foster Dulles, who is a former Secretary of State under Eisenhower.
Right.
And so now they're bringing forth this bill to rename Dulles as the Trump Airport. So is this a group of people who are just trying to get in the good graces of Donald Trump? Or besides casinos and hotels, are we coming into the era where things are going to be named after Donald Trump?
Well, isn't it interesting that there was a time where naming things after presidents was sort of non-controversial? And now, I mean, because it is Trump, obviously, and everything is so partisan. I mean, it used to be like the presidents were the most revered amongst us in society. So even if you were a Democrat, you would see, hey, that airport or that stretch of highway is named after Ronald Reagan. Mm-hmm. Oh, well, you know, a renowned, very popular president, that makes sense. You didn't see a lot of stuff named after Jimmy Carter, though, because he wasn't really that respected or well thought of as a president. Mm-hmm. But now everything is so politically polarized that anytime you're going to name something after a president, it is going to be a brouhaha. Mm-hmm. Because the country is so divided.
I don't think if it does, it will be a razor thin, you know, majority if it passes, because you've got people like Jamie Raskin saying, you know, if they name it after Trump, they could have nonstop round trip service straight to Moscow.
Oh, of course. Right. You know, so. Well, OK, so my question on this would be, it used to be things were named for people who either had a strong local connection, mm-hmm, to the place. Like if you drive, there's a stretch of highway named for Birch Bayh, who's a former senator. Evan Bayh's father, was he this esteemed senator or world famous senator that's still remembered to this day? No, not really. But he was connected to Indiana. He was a senator. Richard Lugar, another example. You had.
You've got Mitch Daniels Way on the campus of Purdue.
But if it was going to be and this is what's interesting to me. If it was going to be named for a president, mm-hmm, it was sort of someone who, like I said, universally was respected, if not agreed to politically. So you would see a Reagan. You might see John F. Kennedy. You would see Roosevelt. You would see Abraham Lincoln, mm-hmm, you know, George Washington, these sort of people. Trump's not that, right? Like, I mean, he was a kind of okay president. He certainly wasn't, you know, a top five of all time president. He was fine, but it is a little odd that a guy who's still living, who's running for president again,
they're considering,
that you're considering, because he's essentially trying to become the president. And this, mm-hmm, is usually an honor bestowed on presidents after they are done being the president.
Yeah.
It is a little odd, isn't it?
It is Kendall and Casey. It's 93 WIBC. Good morning.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Morning.
Tired of hearing Rob talk about all the bad news? Time to find your happy place. Turn that frown upside down. It's time for Shitting Rainbows with Rob.
So you're supposed to be positive, and I might be the one that might derail this entire.
Oh, get the shock button ready, Kevin.
Rainbow section, because I got a bone to pick with you.
Uh-oh.
Mr. Kendall. We've been promoting this event, and I think you're putting a lot of pressure on me there, Rob.
Well, you know, I thought people would really enjoy meeting you. Mm-hmm. Between the two of us, you're clearly the the marketing, you know, you're the person we're putting out there.
I'm the sizzle, you're the steak.
Yeah, you can actually meet. So what we're talking about is you can actually meet Casey tomorrow. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I'm told there are many, many people already signed up who want to do this. This is going to be a wildly popular event, and you can meet and get your photo with Casey. She will also be signing autographs. As well.
So this is the front porch Patriots.
Real quick, before I tell you about this, when you sign your autograph, do mm-hmm. you do the girl thing where you put a heart next to your name, or like over the Daniels, do you put like a heart over the I?
No. No, I don't. I can if that helps you.
I mean,
if you'd like
me
to do that.
We're doing it for
a
cause, so you know, we want people to come see us.
But here's the bone that I have to pick with you. You're like, I can't tell if you're being sarcastic or if you're genuinely trying to be nice, which is a problem I think a lot of people run into with you occasionally. But you're like, oh, meet Casey Daniels. It's a Field of Dreams moment.
Right, that's
correct. You're like, it's your chance to get your picture with her. Like, are you being nice or are you being sarcastic?
You know what, Casey, I once had someone I shared interpersonal relations with for quite a while tell me as they left for the final time, that's the problem with you. You're just a jerk all the time, and I can never tell when you're being sarcastic or not.
I get it. I feel.
And no one else can either.
I feel her pain. It reads kind of nice, but after, you know, knowing you a little better, I'm like, I don't know. I think maybe he's being sarcastic. You shouldn't do that. I'm a nice person. You should be nice to me.
No, I think if between the two of us, if people were like, who would I want to show up to meet?
Yeah.
It would certainly be you.
They'd want to argue
me.
With you.
Why would somebody not want to show up and meet you? You're charming, you're beautiful, you're kind, you're caring. You are all of these things. And see, I can't even...
Should we get the zap ready, Kevin?
I've got it ready.
Okay.
I would be the first person in the history of ever to be zapped for calling someone beautiful, kind, and caring.
Well, it's just, again, it's hard to tell if you mean it or not.
I totally, 100%. Casey, do you realize how many years as a young broadcaster it took me to master the sarcastic tone 24/7? The mistake I made, though, was I allowed it to bleed into my personal life.
Yeah. and now you live that way.
It's indistinguishable
all the time.
Now.
All right. Well, tell everybody about the event, which you're referring to.
Yeah. So tomorrow night, Casey and I are going to do an event for Micah Beckwith. It's going to be up on Meridian Street. I've got it up at Rob M. Kendall on Twitter right now. I just posted it and told it's a totally free event. There's no obligation. There's nothing you're required to do. We're going to be there. We're going to talk a little bit about the lieutenant governor's race. Obviously, there are many, many people running for delegate right now. The importance of figuring out who these delegates are, how they intend to vote, because the delegates, the state convention, are who will pick the lieutenant governor. And look, bottom line is, you got one shot at this to get this right. If you're someone who actually cares about cleaning up this crap, this mess that the Republican Party has made,
it's
doing it for our cause here.
Yeah.
This is your one chance, because let's face it, whether it's Braun or whether it's Doden or Chambers or Crouch, these people are not serious people about fighting for you. And so Casey and I collectively felt strongly enough about this. We said, if we can lend our voice to getting people educated and know what's going on, we'll gladly do that. We care so much about this that I'm going to miss part of day one of the Masters, although most people will be winding down their round by the 5:45. I'll have to leave my house.
Yeah.
Still, we feel that important about it. So I think it's 6:30 tomorrow night.
It is 6:30.
The address is up there it's on Meridian Street. It's a beautiful stretch of the city of Indianapolis where the house is. And it's a chance to come hang out with us. We can talk about whatever you want to talk about. We'll obviously spend some time talking about Micah and the lieutenant governor's race, encouraging people to get educated on these delegates and find out who's for who. But we're there to hang out and shoot the breeze.
Sounds good. All right. You got through that. Very nice job.
I cannot believe
that
I said all, and I posted all these nice things about
you. I know
you
have been posting nice things, and that's why I question
it. And it's just rawr. Are you being serious?
You didn't say anything about her age. So that was good.
Kevin, zap yourself. Zap yourself right now.
He talks about your age every day.
Do it. Just zap yourself. No, we were having a nice moment.
He doesn't even know where the zapper is.
I wasn't even insulting you.
He had that zapper for like two episodes, and then he realized, Rob's being pretty good on this.
Yeah, you are being
really
good.
Do you even know where the zapper is? Like, could you find this?
Yeah, I get it ready every day, but I just think you're just being an upstanding citizen, and you're doing really well.
Oh, boy.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right, you're listening to Kendall and Casey. It's 93 WIBC. So they represent 249 mostly small colleges across the country that aren't a part of NCAA's Division III. And it's the NAIA. It's a national athletic governing body, and they came out and they banned transgender athletes from participating in women's sports competitions.
So you mean if you have a penis, you can't play in women's sports?
Yep. The president of the NAIA said that we know there are a lot of different opinions out there, but for us, we believed our first responsibility was to create fairness and competition in the NAIA.
So that's where we're at, Casey. It's 2024, and this is a headline-making thing that this organization has said, hey, if you got junk, you can't play with the the women.
Right.
But this is now some sort of big deal, and we feel obligated to discuss it to promote and applaud these people. But we're now at a point where simply saying that men play men's sports and women play women's sports is a highly controversial thing.
Yep, they said that they're going to look at the sex you were at birth, and that's what you're going to go off. If you were born with female parts, then you're a female. If you were born with male parts, you are not considered a female in their eyes.
Why is this even a point of conversation? I mean, this is what, so that South Carolina coach, women's coach, came out and was basically for men playing on women's sports. And it's like, so many of these people feel, it seems like these coaches or these celebrities, they have to say this. Like, they have to say these things. What percentage of the populace do you think, like, if you rashly sat down and just said, okay, time out on all the noise, what percentage of the populace do you think is out there going, man, I really wish people with penises could play women's sports?
Well, and
I'm
again,
really passionate about that.
Going back to that coach, what player was she going to cut to have a male in its place? And, you know, it's according to Pew Research, 1.6% of U.S. adults are transgender or non-binary. And that, so that's not even accounting how many of those people are athletes. And they said, I think... Yeah, the NAIA, the first national college governing body to make this mandate. So when is the NCAA going to fall in line with this?
By the way, Matt Hiblin sent us, man, there are a ton of Indiana schools that are in this NAIA.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like Indiana University East, University of St. Francis, Marion, Indiana Wesleyan, Goshen. I mean, there are a ton, Grace College, of people that are in Bethel that are going to be impacted by Holy Cross. Man, dang, there's a ton. I didn't realize there were that many of these in Indiana.
Well, that's because they're mostly smaller private schools, and a lot of these smaller private schools do have a religious component to them. So that would make sense to me. It's Kendall and Casey on 93 WIBC. Something else making news here is Panera Bread.
Oh.
We've been talking a lot about restaurants and food over the past couple days. Panera Bread undergoing a massive menu overhaul. They're going to be eliminating 48 items off of their menu.
Okay, so I have a question about Panera, because, you know, I eat at like the same three places and all comes in a bag and ends with D's or Donald's. So I have a question. So I had a gift card to the Panera, and I went to get food for my wife, and I was blown away at how expensive the couple of things that I got for her was. I thought this must be some sort of like mistake.
Yeah.
And it was like $13 for a couple of small little items.
I would agree. It is a pricier place. They say their menu changes are symbolizing a new era for Panera. You know what? They can change all they want as long as they don't get rid of the orange scone.
The what?
The orange scone. That always sells out quickly. Now that's always a treat for me.
Now, the thing I remember about Panera is I used to have a friend that I would meet at a local Panera. And they did have a nice assortment of fountain beverages. And they had giant M&M cookies that I remember in the Panera dining option. Now, I don't know if they still have that or not. I don't like spend sitting in the Panera anymore.
I don't believe that has made the list of items to cut.
They say good.
They're refocusing on innovating and enhancing the core Panera items. And they say that their core Panera items are soup, salad, and sandwiches and mac and cheese.
Okay.
And I think
mac and cheese.
Mac and cheese, yeah. The interesting thing about Panera, they first opened in Missouri in 1987, and it was a bakery, and they had a, quote, secret sourdough starter.
Oh, that explains the cookies and stuff, that it was originally a bakery.
It was originally a bakery with the secret sourdough starter, but the company is now eliminating that from their menu. So they're You know, it's like dance with the one who brought you. Nope, they're breaking up.
So wait,
with
they're
that.
Getting rid of the cookies and stuff?
No, not all of the cookies. Oh. Just some of the sourdough products right. that put them on the map, That's, so to speak.
Well, and so this is the larger conversation, is the reinvention of American society. And how do, in the modern era where everything is super expensive, clearly you're not St. Elmo's, right? Like if you go to a St. Elmo's, you know, hey, price point is already baked in. You're going to overpay mm-hmm. for something. And it's the experience and the, you know, a chance to do it. And many, many people do it and love it. But if you're, you know, in these mid-range places, you are somewhat obviously cost conscientious.
Yep.
And so as a somewhat cost conscientious person, how do you bridge the gap between not eating complete crap like I do mm-hmm. and being able to afford something a little better? And this is sort of the box that these mid-range type of places where you still kind of get your own food and you sit down yourself and there's not somebody
clear pouring. Your own table.
Right. But yeah. but yet you want to be a little bit better than a Arby's or mm-hmm. Wendy's or Burger King.
It's somewhere right in the middle. I'm looking at the list, Rob, and the only cookie that is being eliminated is the lemon drop cookie.
Oh, that's fine then.
So I think you're going to okay.
I mean, it's been, yes, Kevin.
I was just going to say, are they getting rid of the bread bowls? Those are sourdough, aren't they?
Bowls, it doesn't specifically say bread bowl, but like they've got the turkey chili bowl they're getting rid of, the teriyaki chicken and broccoli bowl they're getting rid of, and the Mediterranean bowl with chicken.
So would McAllister's be the primary competition for Panera Bread?
Yeah, that's probably a good call, something like that.
Is that right?
They're in that range as well, where you it's a little bit more expensive right. than McDonald's, but yet not, you're still clear on your own table.
Yeah. They, you know, here's the thing about McAllister's that really made me angry, because they have one of those in Brownsburg.
Yeah.
And my wife loves to eat there. Mm-hmm. So I go get that and then I get myself something that comes in a less expensive bag mm-hmm. after I get her food for her. They used to have free pickles there at McAllister's, and yeah. they have axed the free unlimited pickle supply that they used to have the last couple times I've been in there.
Is that because of inflation,
or
is that
know.
A menu change?
Maybe someone who's running a McAllister somewhere could let us know. They have to right. have pickles. They didn't get rid of pickles.
Well, no, but the free ones they're getting
right?
rid of. Yeah. I mean, the inflation numbers came out and they're, you know, higher than expected.
3.5%, right?
I think you're going to see that more and more. Now, what's going to happen? You're going to stop getting the chips and salsa when you go to your favorite Mexican restaurant? You're going to stop getting the breadsticks? Sticks.
Casey, this is what, and I am a coupon person,
mm-hmm.
and I will tell you that if you are willing to be very conscientious with your coupons, you can still eat at a relatively affordable price. I do sometimes gaze at the prices of the menu items without the coupon, though, and it's like, who is paying that for, mm-hmm. you know?
Who's paying full price for this?
Oh, goodness.
Okay, so Pat Sajak, you know, he announced that he's leaving Wheel of Fortune, right? And they have finally revealed when his last episode will be.
Oh, no.
It's gonna coincide with the season 41 finale.
Okay.
41 seasons right. they've been doing this. I didn't know that Wheel of Fortune actually had seasons. Like,
well, they stop, don't they? And then they play reruns for a while. And
yeah, but it's not like the storyline
changes. Well, you're right. But I would bet if you are an avid viewer, like a Jeopardy or mm-hmm. Wheel of Fortune, you would know when something's a rerun.
Yeah.
Like those people are that into that show, those shows, type of shows, that they would know when it's. No, you or I would have no idea.
Right, but I mean, that would make it really easy, I guess, to guess the puzzle
yeah.
if it's a rerun.
Think about how many millions of people have viewed Wheel of Fortune like and have fond memories of viewing. So even for someone like me, I'm not an avid or active or anything Wheel of Fortune viewer. Mm-hmm. However, I have incredibly fond memories of Wheel of Fortune because when I would go to my grandparents' house, they would always eat dinner during Wheel of Fortune.
And watch the wheel.
And watch Wheel of Fortune. And Wheel of Fortune would be on in the background while we were sitting at the dining room table. Mm-hmm. And so for me, whenever I hear the name Wheel of Fortune, that is exactly what I think of, is my grandmother making dinner and Wheel of Fortune being on in the background.
Yeah, it brings back memories. I can remember when you know, they'd do the prizes and you'd actually pick out what you wanted out of the display of items.
Was that back in the 70s?
It was, actually. Or 80s. June 7th is going to be Pat Sajak's final episode. And, of course, he says that it's
when been is a privilege.
June 7th.
June 7th.
Yeah. Vanna Stang and Ryan Seacrest is going to be.
They have picked a new host?
It's going to be Ryan Seacrest.
Geez.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's never anybody good. Like Jeopardy. Who is Jeopardy now?
Is that Ken Jennings?
So they finally decided on him. Wasn't it the woman from The Big Bang Theory for a while?
Yeah, they both did it in tandem. They took
and then
turns.
Like, I was going to say Deal or No Deal. Price is Right as Drew Carey. I mean, at least he was somewhat of a kind of a big star.
Mm-hmm.
What's the other one? The one where they put all the stuff up on the board and you got to guess how many people said, like, we surveyed 500 people and they said.
Family Feud?
Family Feud, thank you.
Was
Steve Harvey, is he still the guy over there with that?
I think so. Yeah. So you need a sick day so that you can stay home and watch all the game shows.
Wasn't that the best part when Price is Right was on?
Well,
yes,
right?
And you felt like, did you used to feel this way when you were a kid where if you had, now I know it's different in the 50s, but like when you were a kid, you would like drive out at noon and you would see the world and you're like, I'm not supposed to be seeing, this is some sort of alternate universe.
Uh-huh.
Like with the downtown of your community you grew up in the sunshine, like what is going on here?
Abdul's going to join us next on Kendall and Casey. It's 93 WIBC.
Yeah! It's all yours! You got to do it. Feel that way. Feel that way.
Finding the right healthcare partner for your business isn't easy, but Hancock Wellbeing at Work can help. We're a different kind of program that combines employer clinics with a wellness strategy. And in a lot of cases, we can deliver greater health benefits at a lower cost. See why well-being for your employees is well-being for your business at HancockWellbeingAtWork.org.
Sometimes you want to go where everybody knows your name.
The governor's race is about to get nasty, or at least that's what our next guest says. 93 WIBC, Kendall and Casey Show. I'm Rob Casey's here. Look who it is. Hello. He's the owner and author and operator of IndiePolitics.org. He's an attorney. He's a broadcaster. Just all-around phenomenal human being. Abdul-Hakim Shabazz. Hello.
Which Abdul-Hakim Shabazz? The eclipse affect you or something?
Just take the compliment and go. All right. So you said, what was this? I see this in the cheat sheet. By the way, everybody can get a cheat sheet subscription over at IndiePolitics.org. That the governor's race is about to take a turn. Well, for us, it would be for the better, but for the candidates, it'll be for the worst. Yeah,
ugly. It's about, and you'll know who the front runner is because that's where all the attacks will be focused on. And right now, according to the last couple of public polls out, the poll we did, Indy Politics and Crossroads Public Affairs, the 5-9 CBS 4 poll, Braun is about 33% and some change. Doden, Crouch, Chambers, all in like that 10% range. Hill at 5, Rittenour at 1, and 30% undecided. With those many undecided votes going into early voting actually started yesterday as we record this, that tells me that a lot of folks haven't made up their mind. And while Braun's the front runner, Braun's going to be getting attacked. So the undecided voters don't necessarily go to Braun. They divide their votes amongst the other four or five candidates.
Well, so that's the challenge. And we talked about this last week, I think, in your segment, where if you're Doden or you're Crouch or you're Chambers, you not only got to get people off Braun, but you got to get them to go to you. This isn't like a Luger-Murdoch thing where there's two choices. There's six choices, and three people are really fighting for the same group probably at this point. The three second-place people, Chambers, Doden, and Crouch, are all fighting for those undecideds.
Which is why, for me, the million-dollar question is over the next few public debates. I'm doing one in Kokomo, like on the 26th, 27th, is what makes you different than your opponents up here, and why should the undecided voter vote for you? Obviously, you haven't convinced them yet, otherwise they wouldn't be undecided. What is about you and your candidacy that appeals to the undecided voter right now?
So Braun has started clapping back. He's got ads running against Doden. He's got an ad running against Chambers, too, I think, right? So he said, enough of you peasants. I am tired of your heel nipping, and now you go squish. So,
well, also in part two is what he's trying to do is like, hey, if you're an undecided voter, don't vote for these knuckleheads. Vote for me.
Right. Yeah. How many people out there do you think, like, we talked to Jim Merritt earlier in the show. He's undecided, which is amazing. Like, nobody is more in tune with politics than Jim Merritt. I'm undecided. I'm probably going to protest vote Rittenour because I just think it's crap that they kicked the two black people off the stage. So that'll probably be my protest vote for her. But that's about as enthusiastic as you can possibly be. Hey, nobody stands up for the black people more than me. Can I get a thank you?
Amen.
But there really is. It seems like a huge, like, I think your poll is probably pretty accurate that there's so many people who are like, I don't really
not super charged about any of these people.
And I would argue in part because the candidates, if there's a criticism, haven't given people, voters, a reason to vote for them. Obviously, everybody's got their base of support, which makes perfect sense. I've been with Suzanne Crouch for 20 years. I don't Curtis Hill for like 10 years. You got your base of support. But what you don't have is you haven't convinced those undecided voters. I mean, I'm an outsider. You know, axe attacks, freedom and liberty. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah.
I've gotten this since November of last year. I get it. Yes, you're an outsider. We've established it.
Right.
Now, I know, you're not a politician. Well, actually, you are because you're running for public office.
Right, exactly.
So why should I, as an undecided voter, vote for you? And I don't think that's any... I don't think anyone's outlined, you know, those three main points. Like, here's why you should vote for me.
Well, and the other part of this too, and we were talking about this yesterday on the Kendall and Casey show. If you look at two things that are going on in the sports and entertainment world, the women's basketball, which had record ratings, and then you look at, as weird as this is going to sound, pro wrestling and WrestleMania doing record numbers, both of these, because they had stories that were interesting. Like, the people involved were interesting. Caitlin Clark was extremely interesting. The hate around Caitlin Clark made it worth watching. The wrestling. The Rock comes back. He's going to be a good guy. Everybody boos him and is mad because Cody Rhodes is their guy. And now The Rock says, hey, I'll lean into that. I'll be a bad guy. People loved that. It's interesting. And we've been begging for a year now. So one of you people, any of you people, be interesting. And none of them have decided to be all that interesting.
Well, like I said, we're now in the home stretch. So it will be, quote unquote, interesting to see what comes out, because I've heard there's going to be some negative attacks against Mike Braun.
Oh, good. It's about time.
I've heard it could be game changing. Exactly what they are yet, I don't know yet. I'm still going to try to find out this week. I'm talking to Brad Chambers later today, and also some more of the candidates 101 over the course of the next couple of weeks to find out, okay, what is your appeal to the undecided voter?
Abdul with us. So let's talk about some of these other races. The Congress races are super interesting. You got the 5th, where it's now Sparks and Chuck Goodrich. She's calling him China Chuck. He's accusing her of being basically a lunatic running her office. You got the 6th, where somehow, despite totally imploding in the mayor's race, you reported the cheat sheet. A lot of people think Jefferson Shreve could end up winning that thing. You got the 3rd district, which is Marlon Stutzman trying to make a comeback. The 8th has got Hostetler.
Yeah, and he got outside groups going after Hostetler and after Marlon Stutzman, like millions of dollars.
So it's like totally blast from the past in the 3rd and the 8th. You got this improbable potential comeback from Shreve. The 4th is even interesting because Charles Bookwalter, despite having no money, is at least from a grassroots ground game being visual and being seen. The Congress races are more interesting in many cases than the governor's race.
Yes, they are.
How is Shreve viable?
Easy. He's got money, and money makes you a viable candidate. Now, I don't necessarily makes you the right candidate, but it makes you a viable candidate if you got the resources to run your commercials, to run your internet ads, to do your mailers in the whole nine yards. And Jeff Rotz, Mike Speedy, and the other folks just don't have that money to compete with Jefferson Shreve. Now, Jamie Garrison, I would technically say, would be maybe like second closest, and he's supposed to unveil some stuff, some television, internet, starting this week. So I think the 6th district is going to be between Jefferson and between Jameson Carrier.
Do you not think Speedy's even the guy?
No, I don't think so.
That's amazing, given the fact that he had all those connections. He's been in the State House since the earth was young.
Yeah, but Speedy's got some other issues.
Well, that's, I know, right? Okay, hey, before we let you go,
you should watch what he puts on Facebook. 6 years ago. It wasn't pretty.
Would you like to reveal how you voted for Congress? I can't think of a better way to wrap up our show here today.
Yes. Normally, I don't talk about who I voted for, but in this case, I actually will. I voted for Jennifer Pace. She's a candidate who is deceased.
Why? Why did you vote for a person who's no longer with us?
Because I figured she would make a much better candidate in the general election than Gabriel Whitley ever would.
Some woman who is no longer with us would be better than the guy who's alive.
Yep.
Very good. All right. Hey, are you working this weekend?
Yes.
What do we got coming up Saturday, 1 to 3 on Abdul at Large?
Talking to Brad Chambers. Also talking to our good friends at Indy PopCon, because Indy PopCon's coming up in a couple of weeks. And also more candidates for governor.
All right. IndyPolitics.org is where you find it all. Abdul Kimchabas, thank you.
Thank you.
That's good to do it for us today. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to stick around. Tony Katz coming up next. Great job as always, Casey. Great job as Kevin. Great job as always, Kevin. And we will see you back here Thursday, 9 to noon, Kendall and Casey Show, 93 WIBC.